The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Fidlin alongside as we make the shift here to the NFL. Quick news and notes, and then we'll get into the AFC North. Kelly Fidlin, the Raiders are at least going to open up camp with Kirk Cousins as their QB1. We assume that was going to be the situation anyway, but they made it officially official, as Clint Kubiak says.
Mm-hmm.
When we go out to practice tomorrow, Kirk Cousins is the starting quarterback. He's the guy. He's going to get a ton of reps. I don't think that we thought anything different there.
Yeah, we discussed that a little bit on the show yesterday. And man, hearing those guys talk about it, it sounded, I feel, even more confident in how that is going to begin, at least for the Raiders, and how it's going to play out during the season.
Yeah, I think it's the right thing to do. We can argue that at another time. Two guys are richer than they were before. Jalen Carter is rich. Denzel Ward is rich. They are now the richest contracts for a corner and for a defensive tackle in the NFL. So we have both of those guys getting rich, and you've got some other notes, but I'll give you this one real quick. We talked about the alt uniforms there for the Bills.
I saw this. I didn't hear it, but I saw this.
Josh Allen got asked about it, and he said, "Stop hating on the jerseys, guys. Stop hating on the jerseys," he says. "They're great. I honestly like them. Speaking of new, it's a new look, and we've got to be new. I think these jerseys are symbolic of that."
Oh, man.
So now he went full circle, and now he's getting us all up into our minds now.
See, Matt, I was ready for, I thought there was going to be like the first time ever a divide between me and Josh Allen, but he brought it right back.
He got into your emotions.
He got into my feelings. He brought it right back to, this is a new look, new year, new team, new goals. New goals.
Yeah, new us.
New championships.
You know what? Now I love the uniforms. There it is. Thanks, Josh. I love them.
I know there's video of him talking about that. Mm-hmm. The marketing team should maybe discuss these things with their star players before, if they're actually like, for them, you should maybe run this by your star player. It's a pretty good sales job by the star quarterback to talk about how good the good uniforms are.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen them, they've been getting beat up like left and right.
They're terrible.
Like they were getting, no, they're not. We just decided they're awesome. Josh Allen told us they're awesome.
I mean, I can root for Josh and still hate the uniforms. They're terrible.
Some other news and notes that you got?
Yeah, man, this is the NFC South. I don't know how exciting it is going to be on the field, Matt, mm-hmm. but the news trickling out of camps here is pretty fascinating. So Atlanta, they just signed Cooper Rush to play quarterback because they don't know what's going on in the quarterback position. Mm. Michael Penix Jr., early reports sounds like this is 4 weeks away before he could even consider getting back into action. So that's where we're at Michael Penix. Okay. We heard that yesterday. Now, Tua has had a, quote, flare-up of an undisclosed injury, Kevin Stefanski said yesterday. So Tua's not ready to go here at the beginning of camp. So enter Cooper Rush and the Falcons' new look team is not off to exactly the great start for what they were planning, but we'll see. I have no idea what that Tua injury is. Again, undisclosed.
Maybe you got that Schwarber tummy ache.
Maybe you got that Schwarber tummy ache. I think a flare up makes me feel like it doesn't sound like that big of a deal.
That's why I said it sounds like flared up.
But you don't exactly like to enter camp with none of your planned quarterbacks available. So there's that going on, and then the Bucs. I don't know what's going on down here. Tristan Wirfs hurt on day one, day to day going forward with him.
Fun times.
Vita Vea tweaked something.
Okay.
That's a quote, tweaked something in a drill yesterday. Now, Vita Vea, who has demanded a trade, we did talk yesterday about how he was a hold in during minicamp. I guess that's what he's doing during training camp as well. He will be going the hold in route instead of hold out, but he might be reconsidering that after hurting himself on day one.
Goodness gracious. I mean, it's
Vita Vea. Nobody needs to see anything from you, man. Like, I would be sitting on the couch until you get traded.
Yeah.
Or that first game comes around.
Or they come with the dough.
Yeah, right.
Like, one of the two. Which they might end up just coming with the dough.
Yep.
You never know with all that. And then apparently some running back news coming out here from Schefter.
Yeah, this is from Adam Schefter. We've got Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson both not participating today or practicing today. Both running backs have had conversations during the offseason about potential long-term contracts.
They want the monies as well.
That's very interesting because that's not just player versus team, right? This does not seem coincidental to me that it is both of them sitting out on the same day. Like, this is not only do I want the bag, but make sure I get more than that other guy.
Yeah, I mean,
which good luck with that one, guys, because that sounds like an ugly negotiation.
It seems like both of those guys have not been in the league long enough to like be sitting out and demanding more money. But we also know the life expectancy of a running back.
It's so tough, it's just man.
Like,
yeah.
So it's like,
what do you do?
Gotta, yeah, I know. It's like, you gotta go get it or at least try. Even if they give you a couple extra mil, it's worth this.
Right.
You know,
a couple million. The first part of what you said, I think I agree more with that with Jahmyr Gibbs too. Right. Gibbs awesome. But like Montgomery's been there. You've had a lot of weapons on this offense. Bijan's like your whole offense in Atlanta. Right. Like pay that man, whatever that man's asking for, pay him.
Guys, we got that Circa documentary that we've been doing for the last couple of years. Episode 2 debuts tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can find that over on the VEASAN YouTube channel, Game Plus, Nesson, MSG, all the different places out there that you can go in. If you missed Episode 1, head to the VEASAN YouTube channel right now, and you can catch up. You're only one episode behind. I know sometimes you feel like you get drowned when you're like six episodes down.
And only a half hour.
Yeah, it's a 24 minutes, actually.
24
because,
minutes.
Because no commercials involved. You know, no.
It's almost
no,
like you know.
Yeah, 24 minutes, no commercials. So you go in, take advantage of the fact that this is the no commercial version over there on the YouTube channel. And again, stick around for the episode 2 tonight. This is where we start getting into the season here, Kelly. We're kind of like weeks 1 to 3, getting into week number 4. And all of that. Again, that's 9 p.m. Eastern tonight over on the VEASAN YouTube channel. AFC North, a very interesting division. Three of the four coaches are new. Probably should have been all four. I think Zach Taylor's the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Should have been all four. But out Tomlin in McCarthy, out Harbaugh in Minter, out Stefanski in Monken. And then, like I said, Zach Taylor was retained by the Bengals. So you look at this division, a lot of the same players, but the coaches are different, Kelly, which does at least make us have to scratch our heads a little bit with the handicap and try to wonder what, you know, these guys bring to the table.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think the Ravens and Minter is going to catch most of the headlines from that standpoint. I don't know if I should say that. McCarthy in Pittsburgh, I guess, is a pretty big deal. I think Minter, he does move the needle for me, though. I think there is a little bit of just the Harbaugh staleness and where was this going? And like, it might not all be on him, right? But sure. Harbaugh, Lamar, that combination, it's just it felt like we'd seen it for enough years and this was not going to get all that much better. Minter, bring over a defensive-minded coach, still with some very, very, very good weapons on that defense.
11 and a half wins, though. I mean, that is a lofty expectation for a first-year coach, even if you do have Lamar Jackson. When you're talking about, you got to get to 12 to get to your over. You are minus 112 to win the division, 470 for the conference, one of the lowest numbers to win it all as well, 10-1 out there for this. And not only does Minter come in, Kelly, but also Declan Doyle comes in as offensive coordinator, all 30 years old of Declan Doyle.
Which, okay, so I think that's... He's
the same age as Lamar.
I know. I think Minter makes a big impact on this defense. I mean, you still got Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton there, right? Like that is so, I mean, to building blocks around a defense, it doesn't get much better than that. The offensive side of the ball is going to be interesting, right? I mean, how does a 30-year-old offensive coordinator and a young head coach, but a 30-year-old offensive coordinator, how does that gel with a, 29-year-old Lamar Jackson?
Yes. Declan Doyle is actually, is less than a year older than Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. So they are basically the exact same age. He does have a year under Ben Johnson. I have a lot of respect for Ben Johnson and
me
all
too.
That. That being said, he didn't call plays.
Right.
So it's just kind of like a mentor type situation there under Ben Johnson. But he steps in and it leads me to believe that maybe their philosophy is Lamar and him work together on what this offensive identity is going to be, what they think that is, what Lamar thinks is the best route, and then maybe they can work together to scheme around all of that. Because I don't think you get a guy who he can go like bro out with as your offensive coordinator if he's not going to have a big say in kind of how this goes.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that is probably a good call. And look, we're getting at the point too where we're getting into those later years of Lamar Jackson's career, right? Where this is got to start having the conversation about when to save your legs, right? A lot of what we're seeing in Buffalo, right? It's how are we going to utilize the legs? What are we going to save them for? I think that needs to be a priority for this team.
So they go in, they draft a guard with their first round pick, which really kind of solidifies the left side of the line. You still have Stanley at tackle, and then you bring in Ione there at guard. That's a good left side for sure. And then you still have Rosengarten out there on the right tackle side. So you are looking at a solid offensive line. They signed Ethan Pochich with hopefully kind of a bounce back season for him. He had been one of the best centers in all the NFL. So kind of fell off a little bit last year, but he's going to be in there. Remember, Trey Hendrickson is now in Baltimore after wanting out of Cincinnati. He signs a big 4-year, $100 million deal with them. So he's in there. Calais Campbell is back as well for this team. Second round pick was a defensive end. So they're looking to kind of upgrade there on that rotation stuff on the defensive side. So I'll put it this way. I am not super, super high on this team, but I do think the floor is very high. So I would never bet the over on the 11.5, mainly because I do think that Cincinnati is going to be better, mainly because I do think that there's a world that exists. And I don't like laugh at me, but I think there's a world that exists where Cleveland could at least have a pulse.
Wow. Okay.
Could have a pulse. And then Pittsburgh is going to be Pittsburgh. I mean, whatever. They're going to hover around 500, right? I mean, they're going to be 7-10, 8-9, you know, whatever, something like that. Like that's what they're going to be. 9-8, 8-9, 9-8, something like that. But I think the odds are too short here for this team. You still have to have playmakers. Bateman, Flowers, Walker don't really do it for me at the wide receiver position. And
yeah,
eventually Derrick Henry's going to fall off. I'm not saying this, but eventually he can't keep doing this until he's 40.
We'll talk more about this team on the other side, man. There's like, I'm going to stop saying that about Derrick Henry. It's incredible.
You taking overs? We'll see if Kelly's taking overs when we come back.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling along here on a numbers game Wednesday edition. Kelly, this coming through the Twitter machine here. DraftKings and Delta have launched SkyPix, a new free-to-play in-flight sports contest that gives eligible customers an interactive way to engage with sports while they travel. SkyPix is a free sports contest available to U.S. domestic Delta flights through Delta Wi-Fi. The contest invites customers to answer a series of sports-related questions, such as who will score first, which team will win, and final goal tiebreaker to compete for a spot atop the leaderboard and a chance to win Delta gift cards moving forward. So you get to sit there and just play sports trivia, basically, I guess, on DraftKings sports picks with Delta, and maybe you can win Delta flights.
God, it's amazing to me how many press releases we have these days that are still kind of confusing. Yeah, I don't know. That sounded like trivia. That sounded like predict what's going to happen in the game that's upcoming.
You know, I think it's probably a little combination of all of it.
Okay.
And then if you can do it better than everyone else, you can win you a Delta gift card. It didn't say how big the Delta gift card was because, you know.
Yeah, right.
You can win a $5 Delta gift card. You have to win two of them in order to get an in-flight beverage.
Put that back of the seat screen to use.
Yeah, something like that. So, all right, so the other side, you said that you were not going to look at Derrick Henry any longer and say this man is eventually going to get old.
Eventually he is going to get old.
No, that's, you said you're not doing it. You said you're not doing it.
I'm going to stop entering seasons banking on Derrick Henry looking old. Okay, yards per carry, this is one of those Scheffler stats, right, where you and I talk about all the time on long shots. It's like, okay, well, I can make cases for how some of the stats got worse for Derrick Henry, but he still ended up leading the league in runs of 20 plus yards. So this is where I'm talking about. I'm just going to stop it with this guy. Cause we talk all the time. You could stop him at the line of scrimmage. If you can slow him down there, great. But man, you talked about the offensive line play last year and there were struggles, but they went and addressed that. So if we're talking about both he and Lamar playing behind what we think is going to be a better offensive line, Yeah, like I'm not going to, at least preseason, make any crazy claims that I think this offense is going to completely fall off. I think that give it some time. I am interested to see how Declan Doyle and Lamar kind of end up working out here together. I'm interested in that. I'm interested to see how this line works, because there were major problems last year, right? They gave up 36 sacks. Now, I think sacks are always tough with Lamar Jackson, because you always wonder how much of those does he put himself into, right?
Yeah.
But he was sacked 36 times in just 13 games last year. You had pass block win rate from the guards. You brought up the guards specifically, but 32nd in pass block win rate from the guards. So I think there's some O-line issues to figure out. Want to see that. I'm also with you on the weapons on the outside. They don't impress me much, man. And this is like, they feel like the team that's been trying to address this over the years, but man, it feels like they've just run out of bullets. And I don't know if Flowers, Bateman, Andrews is just really how far that can take you. So there's concerns there. And then the defense is the defense, right? The amazing building blocks that you have. Roquan Smith is great. Kyle Hamilton's great. You've got some great pieces, but how does it all come together? I think that's going to be interesting to see. But schedule soft, right? 6 easiest strengths of schedule by win total. That's going to apply to the Bengals as well when we get to them. A very easy schedule to play. And it starts off easy. So yeah, if I had to go over under on the win total with Baltimore, it would be over. It's going to be a stay away for me, though.
I did get some good news today. Matt Abuke showed up and is going to be here for the start of training camp. And so went down that neck injury last year, if you guys remember, left a pretty big hole there in the middle of that line. But he was out there at least, at least today in full uniform. So looks like he's ready to go for the beginning of camp. I mean, there was rumors he might have to miss the first month of the season. Mm-hmm. So this is pretty big that he's out there for the first day of camp.
The other one I want to bring up with you, that Danny Higgins, I think, made this bet already. And I think it's an interesting long shot. You and I are going to talk offensive player of the year and defensive player of the year later in the show. Hendrickson, he interested you at all as a bomb? I mean, you can get him like 40-1. This is a guy who's bringing over a ton of sack production from Cincinnati. It's a lot of great pass rushers at the top of that market, but man, I think he could end up with a big sack here. I don't think there's anything preventing him from that.
No. Well, I mean, you got to think too, he was able to put up those numbers with nobody around him.
Right.
And at least with what they have going on right now in Baltimore, they're going to have to pay attention to other people on that line. So he should get fewer double teams and triple teams and everything he was getting in Cincinnati.
Now, I think the pushback to that is just, it's the Derrick Henry. At some point, Trey Hendrickson is going to start to look old, and maybe that's this year. But I think for longer shot in that market, when there's not many names that I get attracted to that are far beyond the first, eight names or something, I think he is a longer shot you could consider.
Cincinnati Bengals did not make a coaching change, although seems like they probably should have. The Zach Taylor thing, going to roll it out at least one more year. See what they can do with Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Mike Gesicki and Chase Brown and all this talent that they have there on the offensive side of the ball. On the defensive side, they did go out and make a big move. They did not have a first-round pick because they traded it for Dexter Lawrence. And so Dexter Lawrence is going to be there on that defensive line. Their second-round pick they used on a defensive end, and then their third-round pick they used on a corner. They obviously know where their deficiencies are. It's on the defensive side of the ball, big trade, and then use their first two picks on the defensive side as well to do that. So you look here, Kelly, at this team, and it's been well documented. If it wasn't the offensive line, it was the defense. If it wasn't the defense, then it was injuries. If it wasn't injuries, then it was something else. There's always been something going on with Cincinnati. They at least tried to go out and do things on the defensive side. They made some moves, I think, at corner, and I certainly think in the secondary, and maybe even on the defensive line now. By the way, Mafe came over in free agency. I think that they did some things on the defensive side to where they are not going to be a sieve. And then the only other problem becomes the left side of that offensive line, where you're just going to need Brown to step up and play like a left tackle that they thought he could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, this one's actually maybe the quickest conversation for me in the AFC North. I don't need to see any more out of this offense, right? When it's clicking and everybody's healthy, it's great. The offensive line is fair to bring up, but honestly, as long as they can keep Joe Burrow from getting hurt.
Yeah,
I think that's like the biggest. That's like the only thing you got to do for them to still get positive offensive production out of this unit. I'm interested to see about the defense. I think there's been a little bit of offseason overreaction to how much better this defense is going to be. I think it's going to be better, But okay, like a reminder, Trey Hendrickson's gone now too, right? I think Dexter Lawrence is awesome. Best player at his position in football, but how much better can he and a couple rookies bring this defense from what we've seen out of the past couple years of just being awful, 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 awful. So this is going to be a wait and see for me on this team. No preseason bets. Honestly, I think with how this has gone for Burrow and this team the past few years, I think I'm out on Bengals preseason bets these days. But I will look, absolutely, this is the team I'm most interested in winning the AFC North.
Yeah, it's for me, like I said, I think there was enough question marks on the Ravens side of things to where I'm never betting them at like minus money. Yeah. Right. Like, so if you're asking me how I would bet this division, I could only bet Cincinnati because at least I'm getting a little bit of plus money. I don't think the separation between the two teams
should be that much,
as much as it should. And listen, it might work swimmingly, but we don't know how this coaching situation is going to work out in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. This is not the rock of the, oh, well, we know exactly what we're getting into. Like we have over the last the entirety of Lamar's career right there with Harbaugh. And so there is a world that exists that maybe he doesn't get along with Mentor, or maybe he doesn't get along
totally
with the way that they want to run the offense or whatever and all that. I mean, like that is still something to be determined.
The one that terrifies me always with Baltimore too, it's just hell with Derrick Henry. The day that Lamar Jackson starts to look old, right? Oh boy, you got problems. I mean, the day that he can't run or that's the running threat is not as big as what it used to be. Like this offense completely changes.
If you want to look to just if health can hold up for this Cincinnati team, I mean, the back half of the schedule, Tennessee, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Washington, New Orleans, Cleveland. You do have a game against Kansas City in there, but then Carolina, Indy, Baltimore, Cleveland. I mean, that's the back half of this schedule. That is a lot of wins in the back half of this schedule for this team. And so you kind of look at what the upside could potentially be. They start off at Tampa, not going to be an easy game, obviously. Then they're on the road at Houston, on the road at Pittsburgh. No matter what you think about the Steelers, on the road in Pittsburgh is never going to be easy. Jacksonville is going to be certainly feisty. But then you go on the road starting at week 5 into Miami, into a bye. And then you get that road game against Baltimore in week number 7. But starting in week 8, Tennessee, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Washington, New Orleans, Cleveland, Kansas City, Carolina, Indy, Baltimore, Cleveland. That's 6, 7, 8 wins right there.
Yeah. This is where, for me, it's there's no rush here. Week four, circle it, mark it on the calendar, right? Let me get out of that Jags game. I'll see how this team's looked, see where they stand out record-wise. Then I might be wanting to buy in.
Yeah, it is.
I do think with the way I would handle betting this Bengals team, though, even if it's in season, Matt, maybe it might be a win total as well at that point. But if I was going to bet this Bengals team, I'd rather bet the high-end outcomes for them. Just bet on them ending up being healthy, this defense actually taking a step forward. And if that's the case, then I think this is a team that's really threatening at a Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely. All overs for wins, Super Bowl, yeah. Burrow MVPs, all the different things like that is a way that you can bet that. Take a look at a couple other teams when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin. Got to roll on, and we're supposed to talk Major League Baseball if I'm going by the rundown. But we have two more teams in the AFC North. We can't get through this without talking the AFC North.
We love chatting NFL, man.
You know, top to bottom here, especially when you talk about those two teams that are so interesting in the Ravens and Cincinnati. And now you have to go to these other teams that are interesting in different ways, right? So Mike Tomlin out, and with that, Mike McCarthy steps in, 62-year-old Mike McCarthy with the relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers decides to come back at least for one more year there in Pittsburgh. This is this team that can't seem to do it right, either just go and tank a season and get to the top of the draft or go win something. They can't do either one. They just continue to be middling, Kelly, over and over and over again. They use their first-round pick on an offensive tackle, use their second-round pick on a wide receiver, and then Drew Aller in round number 3 to come in and maybe be the guy after Aaron Rodgers decides to finally hang it up with all of this. But you take a look at this Pittsburgh Steelers team in a division in which we just said the upside maybe for Cincinnati is Super Bowl. We think the floor is very high in Baltimore no matter what. So So what then is the floor and the ceiling here for Pittsburgh?
I think this is one of the toughest teams to answer that question with. I actually think there's a lower floor here and maybe higher ceiling than I'm willing to admit with this team. I think there's a low floor. I mean, I think you could.
Is the ceiling okay? Then when you say high-ish ceiling or higher than you think, is higher than you think 11 wins? Like, is that like would that be considered like, oh, that's a good season 10, in my eyes?
10. I'll go 10 wins.
And then like the floor being like complete jelly splatter. Like 5. You just drop a jar of jelly on a carpet and like it's just impossible to clean up.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw Aaron Rodgers getting older last year. He looked like an old quarterback. Yeah. I also don't think I'd be shocked if he's able to find something again a little bit under McCarthy. If him and McCarthy are able to click like they used to, maybe just a better design playbook that he's end up able to roll out. I mean, I don't want to put too much weight into this, but DK Metcalf talking about those guys spending way more time together this offseason and actually kind of bonding, right? You add Michael Pittman Jr. to this team.
Dean is now on the team. Yeah. Rico Dowdle, if you think that he, you know, can do. I mean, we've seen flashes from like a Rico Dowdle and, you know, whatever. I mean,
I wouldn't be shocked if this offense shows some life this year, okay?
Yeah.
Whereas last year, it really didn't feel like there was much life coming out of this offense at all.
It really comes down, and it does most of the time in the NFL, to the quarterback play. But Aaron Rodgers looked like a middling quarterback last year.
Yes.
And whether that was because of injury stuff or whatever, it looked almost sad at times, too, because it was almost like his brain had not caught up with what his body was actually capable of doing. Aaron Rodgers used to have that weird Patrick Mahomes escapability. If you guys are too young to remember prime Aaron Rodgers, think kind of when you see the crazy scrambling stuff and buying the extra time and making a throw that you thought was impossible that you see from Patrick Mahomes present day. Aaron Rodgers used to do that. Aaron Rodgers used to be that guy that, oh man, a free rusher came. He made him miss. He rolled to the right and then flung it 40 yards down the field and was able to make something out of nothing. You saw that last year and he was trying to get away, but he got caught every single time. Mm-hmm. Bad sacks, bad decisions, bad whatever. Like, it's almost like he needed to have a consultation with Tom Brady in the offseason. You remember how Tom Brady had gotten to a point where he would just self-sack?
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, here comes a free runner. I'm falling down.
Right.
Because if I take one more step backwards, that's another lost yard. Yeah, and I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to fall down right here and I'm just going to realize that, okay, we got another down.
It's better to lose 3 yards than to lose 11 trying to scramble out of it.
And it seems like Aaron Rodgers' brain had not caught up with what his physical limitations are. So I do wonder if maybe in the offseason, watching film, you know, look, these guys, I imagine he is still a student of the game and whatever, like watching tape, watching film, realizing where he was kind of like making these mistakes and stuff. It wouldn't surprise me to see him be better than he was last year. We were talking about a quarterback that out of 38 qualifiers over on Pro Football Focus was graded out 28th.
Mm-hmm.
28th out of 38 qualifiers. That tells you kind of what his play was like last year.
Yeah, it's just, man, I know we all get annoyed by Aaron Rodgers up at the microphone sometimes. That is including myself. But I think much like we've talked about LeBron James here in recent days, right? Like, there's just part of me that doesn't fully believe, Matt, that he played like that last year. Went into this offseason really trying to decide whether he was going to come back and play football or not, and decided he was going to come back and made that decision thinking last year's level of play was acceptable. Yeah. So whether it's him, whether it's the roster around him, whether it's the coaching change, I would think he's feeling a lot more confident about his play.
The defensive side of the ball is the most intriguing thing to me. So you bring in Jamel Dean. Now you have a corner tandem of Dean and Porter Jr., Highsmith, Hayward, Watt, all their defensive line coming at you, putting on pressure. No matter what you think about Ramsey at this point in his career, he's certainly not trash.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's more middling than he is elite, but Jalen Ramsey's probably still middling. So the defense actually, I think, presents some upside as well.
13th highest rated defense at PFF last year, Matt. I think they've got to be a top 10 defense for us to be talking about this team series. With all the things we just said about the offense and Aaron Rodgers and the capability of being better, right? The defense has to be a top 10 defense if we're talking about this team at all. And I think they can be.
Yeah, and I think they can be. I mean, it's a fairly solid offensive line. I think this is a floor of about 6-7 wins, ceiling of about 10-11 wins, like you said. But I mean, 11 wins, get you in the playoffs.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, because this is what's been rattling around in my brain, is this AFC playoff picture. Okay, and we still got to get to the Browns here, but who's your seven teams from the AFC? Okay, the one bet I have circled potentially with this team, and I don't know that I'm going to get there before the season. Everybody laughs all the time. I bet a lot of Steelers unders over the years. No, I think I'm going to go under the win total, but I do think you could lay a price for them to miss the playoffs. That feels relatively safe to me. But, I mean, who are your seven teams? A lot of people are going to go Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs out west, Bengals, Ravens in the north, and then you've got two division winners. Who are those seven teams is not making it?
And yeah. Bills, Patriots would be the other two.
Right.
Over on the AFC side. So, I mean, but...
And then someone's winning the AFC South.
Yeah, So, I'm not as bullish on the Chiefs and Chargers, I think, as a lot of people are.
Okay.
I think that's certainly in the realm of possibility that only one comes out of the South, only one comes out of the West. I think that is certainly in play. It wouldn't surprise me if the Steelers made the playoffs. But, again, like I said, I think the floor is still six or seven wins.
Okay.
You know, Aaron Rodgers could be washed. And again, all of these, all the stuff that we just said we loved, bringing in Pittman, Metcalf still in his prime, all that defensive stuff, it doesn't matter if Rodgers is washed.
Right.
All of that doesn't matter.
So there is, I don't think I'm going to end up with a bet here before the season. That's the bet I would make, though. It's just, because it's not only the unknowns of exactly what we're going to get with Pittsburgh, but then against the rest of the AFC that I think is so strong, missing the playoffs. I was surprised that was actually as low as it is. Minus 165. I think that's a bettable price.
Then we have the Cleveland Browns, Stefanski out, Todd Monken in. And so this is super interesting. I think mainly because of the quarterback deal. Deshaun Watson apparently is healthy. Apparently is in a battle with Shedeur Sanders to start for the Cleveland Browns. And I say that kind of giggling, but that being said, you and I are old enough to remember when Deshaun Watson was widely regarded as a top three quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
I lost a side bet to Matt Brown once on a Chiefs-Texans playoff game. I was so bullish on Deshaun Watson.
So now, that is obviously a distant memory, distant memory of when he was elite. However, I guess there is a world that exists where he really was affected by all these injuries and all of this stuff was hampering the true Deshaun Watson. If we believe, Kelly, that he is fully healthy, and what we know from way back when, is there a world that exists? I'm not saying he's going to be elite again or that he's going to be in the conversation of being one of the best quarterbacks in football, but could he be 15th? You know what I'm saying? Could he be in the upper half? Could he be an upper half quarterback? Because if that's the case, if he can be an upper half quarterback with that defense, even without Myles Garrett, it is still loaded.
Mm-hmm.
They could be a tough out.
Yeah, they could be. I think that's going to... I would be pretty shocked if we saw that Deshaun Watson again.
Me too.
But we've seen it before.
But I was going to say, but we at least have to think that that's in the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Who would you be more shocked if they end up starting? J.J. McCarthy or Shedeur Sanders?
Probably Shedeur Sanders, because they have $250 million invested in Deshaun Watson. And it's you got to get something out of that money, right?
You know, what's funny.
You got to get something out of that money.
I actually think I'd go McCarthy just because maybe let's pretend that he showed so much in the offseason. You just punt on this whole Deshaun thing, right? It's already been done. We already got burnt by it.
If you want everybody's thoughts on the NFL, our betting guide is out right now over at VSiN.com. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can download that puppy today. We will be updating it as well at the end of training camp. So go in, see who we think, at least early on, was going to win these divisions and Super Bowls and conferences and all of the awards as well. And then we'll come in and give you our final thoughts on all that. VSiN.com/subscribe, $175 now through the Super Bowl. Nick Whalen when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Kelly rolling along, heading right out to the guest line, because we have ton to talk about with Nick Whalen. That's you can right. find him right here on the network, also over on RotoWire as well. Nick, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, guys. Doing well. Talk about off air. I think we finally reached the point where we are clear to just talk as much football
fire.
As we
yes.
want.
Just
as,
fire.
As much
as you want to talk away. To, I mean, buddy. Yes. I mean, if you want to stay with us for the next hour, yeah, we'll just fire away on all of this.
We might be done with the AFC North then.
Well, Nick, before we get into some bets that you've made, all of us play fantasy football. Everyone's got a draft that's going to mm-hmm. be coming up. Who are two guys, not to put you on the spot, but who's a guy that is getting a ton of steam that you think is justified? And who's a guy that's getting a ton of steam that you're like, hey, let's pump the brakes on this dude?
That's a great question, because we are in the middle of steam season mm-hmm. right now, you know, especially if you're following the best ball markets, which is where a lot of sharps and just a lot of people in general are drafting this time of year before you start to get into the home leagues and the redrafts in the next month. Well, we'll start with some players I am fading. And the number one guy for me is Cam Scataboo. And like, I wouldn't say he's necessarily somebody who's flying up draft boards, mm-hmm. but he is somebody you probably have to take in the fourth, maybe the fifth round, see him go even higher than that. And the party line for me on Cam Scataboo, guys, has been, I think he's more of a football celebrity than he is a really good NFL player. You know, I think people remember Cam Scataboo at Arizona State, and they love the story and they love the personality and the backflips. They forget that this guy is, yeah, he's an okay NFL running back. To me, he's not an elite talent. He wasn't drafted as though he's an elite talent. He doesn't play in an elite offense to me with the New York Giants. And I think there's a ton of injury risk. You know, we saw that last season. I think the way he plays, the way he prepares, it's just going to be like that through the early stages of his career. So he is somebody I am really not all that interested in. You know, at the wide receiver position, I love the player in Jalen Waddle, but we are seeing him fly up draft boards over the last few weeks. And I get it to a degree, change of scenery. Denver gave up a ton to get him. There are still plenty of Sean Payton and Bo Nix supporters out there, but I mean, this was not an overly efficient Denver passing game. I did not feel like Bo Nix really took a notable step forward in year two. And you still have a really productive now, number 1A or 1B, excuse me, in Cortland Sutton alongside Jalen Waddle. So the initial cost that we were getting for Jalen Waddle 2 months ago, I was in on. The updated cost, maybe not so much.
Nick, every year, you know, there's one position or another where there is just more depth than, than at wide receiver, the running mm-hmm. back. You got more time to address. How are you handling kind of opening rounds of drafts this year? What are the positions you really need to address early?
You know, for me, it's running back, guys. I think there's a bigger drop off at running back than there is at wide receiver. I'm a lot more comfortable peppering wide receivers in rounds 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, all the way into the double digits. Whereas I think there is more of a defined cliff at the running back spot. You know, I want to make sure I'm getting at least one running back in the first two rounds. I'm not opposed to even starting running back because of how much wide receiver talent we have. But when you start to get into running back 16, 17, 18 range is where it gets uncomfortable. That's, you know, that's where you find Cam Scataboo. That's where you're getting into Josh Jacobs, who continues to practice for the Packers, but that situation still scares me. Travion Henderson, DeAndre Swift, you know, some of these guys who are in timeshares, we don't know exactly how it's going to work out. So I don't want to feel like I have to take one of those guys, and especially take them as my RB2 and then I'm starting them every single week. So receiver, as usual, is really deep. And I would also say both quarterback and tight end, I am very, very comfortable waiting on both of those positions this year. I'm not going to be the Josh Allen guy. He's going far, far and away, you know, quarterback one. I just think there are so many names who are going after pick 100, whether it's Jared Goff or Matthew Stafford. Brock Purdy is around that range. Kyler Murray, I have a ton of already. And then at tight end, some of these guys who are just boring veterans, I think have become big time values this year, led by Mark Andrews. You find Travis Kelce in that range as well. I've traditionally not been a Kelce guy, but if I could get him at pick 125, I'm more than happy to make that click. So both quarterback and tight end, I think, you know, there's a case to invest early, but to me, I would just much rather hammer running backs and wide receivers and then pick up a quarterback who could conceivably be a top five, top six guy after pick 100.
Perfect transition here into sports betting talk is, you just mentioned Kyler Murray and how you've been getting a bunch of shares of him. Kyler Murray playing up there in Minnesota hasn't officially been named the starting. We all believe that he's going to be the starter there with that. And so are you buying in on this Vikings team?
I am. I am, guys. And I say that sitting here in the state of Wisconsin, which is not a popular opinion. Now, I what I need to settle on is, to what degree am I buying in on the Vikings? Am I in on Minnesota at plus 510 to win the NFC North?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going quite that far, partially because of the schedule for the Detroit Lions. I think the Lions are set up to be really, really good this season. But I do think Minnesota could finish second in that division. I will happily take the plus money on the Vikings just to make the playoffs in the NFC. And I know it's going to be an uphill battle. I think when you look around the NFL right now, NFC and AFC, I mean, I count seven divisions where at least three teams are probably going into the season expecting to make the playoffs. So I think the league is sneakily maybe deeper than it's been in a while, save for four or five teams at the bottom. And when you talk about Minnesota, I mean, obviously Kyler Murray is the headliner. Credit to the Vikings for making this feel like a quarterback competition. I don't think that's the case whatsoever. I would be shocked if Kyler Murray doesn't run away with this job. And we need to remember, I mean, the Vikings were a really competitive team. They were still a great defense. They were still making it work, despite having, I would say, probably the worst quarterback play in the NFL for the bulk of last season. And it wasn't just J.J. McCarthy. It was also Max Brosmer. It was also Carson Wentz. I mean, at no point was this offense functional. So even if you're not a big Kyler Murray supporter, one, you got to remember, he's basically playing for free this year. It's not like they gave him some big contract and had to make these roster sacrifices to bring him in. I think you're kind of adding him to last year's team, which still found its way into 9 wins. And again, even if you don't love Kyler Murray, he's going to be head and shoulders better than what we saw at the quarterback position last year. I don't think we're talking enough about just how bad it was in Minnesota and just so how competitive bad that team remained.
Yeah, it was very bad. It's very bad, Nick. I'm with you, man. I think you laid it out perfectly. I'm very interested in betting on the Vikings. I think they will be a bet-on team for me early in the season, game to game. I kind of want to avoid the division, too, so I'm with you. I think there might be a make-the-playoffs bet or something like that that I'll be staring at. I haven't settled on anything quite yet. There's another market that I know you just made a bet in the AFC East. Gil and I were talking a bit about these last week, these division win totals that are out there. What team did you land on an under here with?
The Miami Dolphins, guys, under 1.5 division wins, which basically just comes down to how many times did they beat the Jets? You got two chances at it. I think that maybe they could split with the New York Jets. I know, you know, historically the Patriots have always had problems when they go to Miami. I believe the Dolphins beat the Bills in a really bizarre game where the Bills just turned it over a ton of times last year. I don't really see that happening. I think on paper, I mean, this Dolphins team is one of the worst that we've seen just roster-wise over the last 5 years or so. Apologies to Devon Achane, but the wide receiver room is completely anonymous. The defense is completely anonymous. You have a first-year starting quarterback in Malik Willis, who I think is set up to fail. And then you have a first-year head coach. Like, all the ingredients to me are here for this to be a completely disastrous season. And I think the Dolphins are ultimately okay with that, the way that they tore down the roster this offseason. So not only do I like the Dolphins under 1.5 divisional wins, but, you know, if you start to look into those fewest wins markets, those, you know, last team to get a win markets, Miami's pretty appealing. You know, the Arizona Cardinals have far worse schedule to begin the year. They are touchdown dogs, at least in their first 11 games of the year, which is insane. But I think when you compare those two rosters, there's a lot more in Arizona to me. I could see that team squeaking out a couple wins that maybe they don't deserve, whereas it's going to be an uphill battle for the Miami Dolphins from start to finish.
Talking to Nick Whalen. Nick, you look at the roster, obviously the odds short shot to win it all is the Rams. And you look at this roster top to bottom. You look at the fact that maybe Aaron Donald is coming back to play alongside Myles Garrett at some point here soon as well. Outside of an injury to Matthew Stafford, the coaching staff, the personnel, the everything that we know about it, where does this team go wrong? Where are we going to be picking holes in the Rams? It's just, I look at this team and I'm trying to figure out a way to try to break them down, and I just can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just said Miami is one of the worst rosters we've seen in the last 5 years. I think the Rams might be the best that we've seen in that span. I mean, I'm totally with you. And, you know, I think we talk so much about the Garrett trade and the potential return of Donald, which I think is going to happen at some point. But we forget that this offseason began with them, you know, loading up at cornerback, which was a huge weakness for them this past season. So unfortunately, I think you said it, which is the cop-out answer is injuries, right? It's like Davante Adams, he's had kind of a history of some of these hamstring injuries. He's in his mid-30s. At this point last year, Matthew Stafford was in like a spaceship trailer on the sideline at training camp. He had kind of a best case season last year. You do wonder if that health comes around, but yeah, outside of injuries, I really, really don't see this team getting derailed. I know that's a cliche thing to say this time of year, but there's a reason the Rams have separated themselves in this Super Bowl market. I mean, plus 550 right now, you got to go all the way to 11-1 to even find the next NFC team.
I'm with you, man. I just cannot do it at all. Of course, right here on the network, prop points over at RotoWire as well. Nick Whalen, appreciate the time, buddy.
Anytime, guys.
When we come back, take a look at some of these Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and the PGA Tour is rolling out a new broadcast format.